Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 19, text 19. Maharshayo vai samapagataye. Not up there yet. Okay. Maharshayo vai samupagata ye. Maharshayo vai samupagata ye. Prasasya sadviti yanu madu damana. Prasasya sadvit yanu modamana. Uchu prajanu grahasila shada. Uchu prajanu grahasila sada. Yadutama shloka guna birupam. Yadutama shloka guna birupam. Maharshayo vai samupagataye. Prasasya sadvit yanu modamana. Uchu prajanu grahasila sada. Yadutama shloka gunabirupam. Others? Maharshaya, the great sages, Vai, as a matter of course, Samupagata, assembled there, Yea, those who, Prasasya, by praising, Sadhu, quite all right, Iti, thus, Anumodamana, all approving, Uchu, said, Praja Anugraha, doing good to the living being, Shila Sara, qualitatively powerful, Yat, because, Uttama Shloka, one who is praised by selected poems, Guna Abhirupam, as beautiful as godly qualities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. All the great sages who were assembled there also praised the decision of Maharaj Parikshit, and they expressed their approval by saying, Very good. Naturally, the sages are inclined to do good to common men, for they have all the qualitative powers of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, they were very much pleased to see Maharaj Parikshit, a devotee of the Lord, and they spoke as follows. Purport. The natural beauty of a living being is enhanced by rising up to the platform of devotional service. Maharaj Parikshit was absorbed in attachment for Lord Krishna. Seeing this, the great sages assembled were very pleased, and they expressed their approval by saying, Very good. Such sages are naturally inclined to do good to the common man, and when they see a personality like Maharaj Parikshit advance in devotional service, their pleasure knows no bounds, and they offer all blessings in their power. The devotional service of the Lord is so auspicious that all demigods and sages, up to the Lord himself, become pleased with the devotee, and therefore the devotee finds everything auspicious. All inauspicious matters are removed from the path of a progressive devotee. Meeting all the great sages at the time of death was certainly auspicious for Maharaj Parikshit, and thus he was blessed by the so-called curse of a Brahmin boy. Om Aginata Madam Dasha Janam Jana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakaramayam Dadati Swapadamtikam. So, all the great sages who were assembled there also praised the decision of Maharaj Parikshit, and they expressed their approval by saying, Very good. Naturally, the sages are inclined to do good to common men, for they have all qualitative powers of the Supreme Lord. So, somebody might raise the question, okay, what did they actually do for him? It says here they were great sages, and they were inclined to do good. They were inclined to do good for the common men, and they were there for Maharaj Parikshit. So what did they actually do for him? What did these sages actually do for Maharaj Parikshit? Anybody? Well, actually, I know you know the answer. What they did for him, it's actually very subtle, but it's very important. They, well, does anybody know? What did they do for him? I mean, they, aside from saying very good, what did they actually do for him? That's all, three good answers there. Not the one I was looking for, but in sentence four here, Prabhupada clearly says, at least in relation to this particular translation, purport what they did for him. I'll read it. Prabhupada says, Such sages are naturally inclined to do good to the common man, and when they see a personality like Maharaj Parikshit advance in devotional service, their pleasure knows no bounds. Here it comes. And they offer all blessings in their power. They offered blessings. Yeah. I mean, they said very good. Somebody might say, well, an ordinary person might think, well, you know, what's that going to do for somebody? That and a dollar will get you on the bus. But when it's coming from sages, it's a different story. The sages have the power and the ability to offer blessings. And this is a very important, central idea in Krishna consciousness. I mean, every morning we're singing Yasya Prashadad Bhagavat Prashado Yasya Aprashadan Nagatith Katopi, that by the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the mercy of Krishna. And without the mercy of the spiritual master, one's whereabouts are unknown, or the results are uncertain, right, of what, you know, your devotional service. So we're, you know, we're depending. Our whole efforts in Krishna consciousness, our advancement is all dependent upon getting the blessing of the spiritual master, or in this case, these sages, these spiritually elevated personalities are able to offer blessings. So this is a really important point. Someone might ask, how does it work? You know, what do they do? How does the spiritual master offer blessings? Is there some ceremony? Is there some mystical thing where he just goes zap and...
If you please the devotee, then you'll experience his happiness, and that happiness helps to advance, is the power of your advancement in spiritual life. So it's like in the spiritual world, Srimati Radharani, when she tries to please Krishna, Krishna becomes pleased by her love. And when Radharani sees how happy Krishna is, being pleased by her love, and she feels his love, then she spiritually advances. And that way, eternally, their advancement goes on.
Thank you. Yeah, I was thinking of something much more elementary. In the 10th chapter... Oh, you wanted to say something? Good.
Maharaj Prickett actually asks their permission to fast. He tries to get their permission, authorization to do what he's going to do. So he doesn't think he's going to do anything without asking them first.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Yeah, just to answer my own question, my own fundamental, simple understanding is that the way it works, how these one gets the blessings, is that, in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, to those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. Then the next verse he says, I who am dwelling within their heart, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So in other words, Krishna knows what's going on. He's the super soul. He knows what's going on. And he's particularly attentive when it, you know, when the devotees are involved. So Krishna can understand when a devotee is sincerely engaging in devotional service, and Krishna can understand when his spiritual master or these spiritually elevated personalities, in this case the sages, are pleased. And Krishna, Nasyami Atma Bhavashto Jnana Dipena Bhashvata, he destroys with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. That's the blessing. You know, Krishna from within, he enlightens that devotee and enriches him in his understanding of devotional service. Yeah, Maharaj.
Well, it also says in the Madhurya Kandambini that when the devotee wants to offer mercy to someone else, then Krishna's mercy follows that.
Right. Krishna's mercy follows the devotee's mercy. So, but the devotee's mercy is just, he is pleased. He desires, right?
Well, according to the Bhagavad Gita, the verses you cited, when the devotees speak, they speak to everyone. So, but those who catch up the message and follow it, then Krishna sees what they're doing, and then his mercy follows. Either first by giving intelligence, and then by enlightening them. So you catch up the devotee's mercy by hearing, by remembering, by understanding, and by becoming convinced, and then following with conviction to engage in the loving service. And when Krishna sees that, then he gives the intelligence by which to do it properly, and then he gives you the mercy to realize it.
Okay, thank you. So now that we understand how to get Krishna's mercy, we'll go on to the next point, which is that this is something, also it's not mentioned in the specific verse, but it's, you know, the whole chapter is about this, that Maharaj Prickett, back a few verses ago, he is able to understand this as the situation that's come upon him as the special mercy of the Lord. He actually says here, Text 14, he says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of both the transcendental and mundane worlds, has graciously overtaken me, in the form of a Brahmin's curse. And then he explains why. Due to my being too attached to family life, the Lord, in order to save me, has appeared before me in such a way that only out of fear I will detach myself from the world. So that's what, in the last sentence, Prabhupada says here, meeting all the great sages at the time of death was certainly auspicious for Maharaj Prickett, and thus he was blessed by the so-called curse of a Brahmin boy. So in case you were wondering, how do you get blessed by a curse? Well, you have to understand it. It's a blessing, you know that expression, blessing in disguise. So Maharaj Prickett was able to understand what was happening to him as a blessing in disguise. And earlier in the Bhagavatam, there's another personality who was able to understand things in the same way. And there might be more than one, but there's one I'm particularly thinking of. I can only think of one. Can anybody remember who that was? Anybody besides Palatinanda Maharaj? It's almost like he's a ringer. But if nobody else gets it, we'll have to go. Okay, Maharaj, go ahead. Who was that?
Well, actually, first I was thinking of Lord Chaitanya when he was cursed by that Brahmin that you'll have no material happiness. And he became ecstatic. It was such a blessing that you no longer have any material happiness.
Well, this is somebody from earlier in the first canto. Can you think of somebody earlier in the first canto here who had the same understanding? He responded to the reverse in the same way. He saw it as a blessing in disguise.
Vidura.
Okay, what was the example?
Well, Vidura was kicked out of his house, and therefore he took it as a blessing that he was going to go on pilgrimage and become detached from family life.
Yeah. That wasn't the one I was thinking of. Okay, can anybody tell you? As I said, there's probably more than one. But can you think of? Oh, go ahead. Oh, let these calamities come again and again. Yeah, I guess that could be. Anybody think of another one? I guess there's a lot of them. Huh? I'm sure the one I'm thinking of is a really classic example. Can anybody think of another one? Okay, Narada Muni. Narada Muni. And when he's telling Vyasadeva, you know, Vyasadeva asks him, after he gives us some instructions to Vyasadeva, Vyasadeva asks him about his own life. So Narada Muni starts describing his story, and he explains to Vyasadeva, he says, once upon a time, he says, well, when I was a mere child of 5 years, I lived in a Brahmin school. I was dependent on my mother's affection and had no experience of different lands. Once upon a time, my poor mother, when going out one night to milk a cow, was bitten on the leg by a serpent, influenced by supreme time. Now, this is Narada Muni's response to that. He says, I took this as the special mercy of the Lord, who always desires benediction for his devotees. And so thinking, I started for the north. So this is how Maharaj Prickett is thinking as well. He's taking it as a benediction from the Lord, and with the understanding that he always desires benediction for his devotees. So it's a very short purport here. I'll read it. Prabhupada says, confidential devotees of the Lord, such as Maharaj Prickett, Vidura, Narada Muni here, Queen Kunti, confidential devotees of the Lord see in every step a benedictory direction of the Lord. What is considered to be an odd or difficult moment in the mundane sense is accepted as special mercy of the Lord. Mundane prosperity is a kind of material fever, and by the grace of the Lord, the temperature of this material fever is gradually diminished, and spiritual health is obtained step by step. Mundane people misunderstand this. So what is considered to be an odd or difficult moment in the mundane sense is accepted as special mercy of the Lord. So that's what we're seeing here in Maharaj Prickett's behavior and Narada Muni's behavior, etc. So, and that's very significant, because in this way, a person could advance more quickly. Yeah. So we're actually, these pastimes are here, these narrations of these stories are here to help us, for lessons for us. So I think one lesson we could, take from this is we have to try to follow in the footsteps of personalities like Maharaj Prickett, Narada Muni, and when reverses happen in our own lives, we have to try to take them as special mercy of the Lord. See it as an opportunity to become less attached to the material world, more attached to Krishna, more attached to the instructions of our spiritual master, devotional service like that. So, and actually we're in that situation at every moment, in the sense that there's an opportunity for us to increase our service. Like now we're coming on to the, it's the month of December. Well, we're in the month of December, and tomorrow is the World Enlightenment Day, and we're already into the Prabhupada Marathon. And You know, so this is an opportunity for us to increase our devotional service and to advance more. Prabhupada, on at least several occasions, he said to be very quickly recognized by Krishna, preaching is the shortcut process. See? So it's an opportunity. And it's an opportunity for everybody. Sometimes, you know, we might be thinking, oh, well, you know, Sankirtan, that's for the other devotee. But, you know, Lord Chaitanya said, wherever you go, whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. And, you know, this way become a spiritual master, deliver everybody in land. So in that verse, the way it's translated, whoever you go, wherever you go, whoever you meet, that's explicit, right? But what's implicit, I believe, and I will give a Shastric reference to support what I'm saying, about to say, is that what Lord Chaitanya didn't explicitly say, but what's implicit in that instruction is that whoever you are, it's not just wherever you go. It is wherever you go and whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. But what he doesn't explicitly say, but what's implicit in that instruction is whoever you are, you don't have to be any special person. Whoever you are, do that. Whoever you are, wherever you go, whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. And the Shastric reference for that is in elsewhere, I think it's in chapter 10 or 11 of the Adi Lila. Lord Chaitanya says, I order every man in this world to accept, every man in the universe, every person in the universe to accept this Krishna conscious movement and spread it. See? So that was, you know, that instruction is there. That means every man, woman, and child, so to speak, everybody. Anybody who's aware of it, they can feel that, yeah, this is me. Now, somebody might think upon hearing that, okay, sorry, from here we go again. They might think, you know, I can't do that. I mean, there's certain people who are obviously more cut out for that kind of service. You know, they have a natural propensity for it or a natural ability for it. And, you know, they can do it and they'll be successful, but if I would try to do it, it wouldn't work. But that's mundane thinking, you know. That's mundane thinking. That has to be rejected. I'll give you an example. Everybody drives and goes around town. I'm sure you've all seen in the course of your travels different car dealerships. They have a sign. They have a big sign outside the car dealership that says, we can finance anyone. Have you ever seen that? I've seen it on numerous occasions. Right? We can, a big thing, we can finance anyone we want. Has anybody else ever seen that? Signs like that? Yeah, okay. So, yeah, that's Krishna's position. You know? Just like these, they can finance. Krishna can finance anyone he wants. Krishna can empower anyone he wants. Don't sell yourself short. Don't sell Krishna short. Somebody might be thinking, oh, yeah, I'd like to get a car, but I can't, you know, my credit wouldn't be good. No, the dealer's saying, hey, we can finance anyone. It's the same way. If Krishna's giving the instruction, along with the instruction comes the empowerment. You see, we just have to take it up. See, if we're thinking like, oh, I can't, that's you're selling Krishna short. You can't do that. Krishna can finance anyone he wants. If we just take it down, you know, Prabhupada wasn't thinking, oh yeah, I'm so qualified, I'm so talented, I'm definitely going to be successful. No, he just, in a helpless way, in a hopeless way, he just was started out trying to follow the instruction of a spiritual master, and he says, due to the force of the supreme authority, this movement has become successful. Because Prabhupada he wasn't thinking that I'm so together and qualified and everything, of course I'm going to be successful in this mission. No, he was just helplessly depending on the mercy of his spiritual master and Lord Chaitanya. So in the same way, it's no material qualification required. It's just, you just have to make a decision. Okay, let me try to do this. And then Krishna does the rest. You know, Krishna will, and if somebody's sincerely, you know, prepared to come out of the comfort zone and take a little risk and be, you know, experience a little inconvenience, then you could be amazed at the kind of reciprocation that you experience from Krishna. And let's see, how am I doing for time? Bypass? Okay. Well, yeah, I'll give you an example of just one that from my own experience. That a lot of times when I'm, especially the last few months when we're doing Sankirtan, we're working at a table, and we're not just sitting there waiting for the people to come up. You know, we're actually going out and getting them and bringing them back to the table. But the best people are what's called the walk-ups. You know, and this happens, they're only like maybe at maximum 10-15% of the people that you talk to throughout the course of the day, maybe less. But there are a lot of people that, you know, they just, they see the books on the table or they see the sign or whatever, you know, and they just, without you doing anything, they're attracted and they just walk right up. And you really don't have to say anything to them. They're the best customers. All you have to do is when they walk up, they just say, welcome to the table, or hi, you know. And then you make small talk with them for whatever, 30 seconds, and you just hand them a bunch of books, and they say, yeah, that's for you. We just ask people to give a donation. And they go, well, how much? And you just, and they take the most books, they give the best donations, and they just, and you've done nothing, basically. See? So in other words, it's not like all about being a great salesman. It's not like being, very clever. It's just about going out there and trying. And there's people out there. I think there's one, I never heard Prabhupada actually said, I had heard devotees tell me, Prabhupada said, there's a Brahmin on every corner, something like that. There's people out there that are receptive. And we just have to go out there. We don't have to have any particular qualification as this or that or the other thing. If we just go out there and with the books and just make ourselves present, visible, available, then Krishna will, there'll be walk-ups. There'll be people who will just come right up to you without you doing anything. And they'll be just ripe. They'll just be, okay, what do you got? I want it. And they're ready to engage in devotional service. So that's there. And one final point as a tip, if we've been trying to, this class is focused on encouraging people who might think they want to try doing Sankirtan to do it. A very valuable tip, I think, is work with a partner. Work with another devotee. And I'm saying that because I've done a lot of both. And I know I could tell you from my own experience that it's a lot easier. It's a lot more effective. It's a lot more fun. It's a lot more everything when you work with another devotee. You know, I've had days where, the prospect of going out on my own was like, I could barely, muster up the determination to do it. But then if you have a partner, then it becomes real easy. You know, and it's practical because there's certain situations that you're in that you need two people to do it effectively. Otherwise, it'd be much more difficult, much more time consuming. And also you encourage each other, because I don't know if it's Krishna's, a leela of Krishna or just the way it works, but something, one person, a lot of occasions, one person is doing good and the other person isn't doing good. So, one of the partner encourages each other, the partners encourage each other like that. And, you have somebody to talk to about Krishna on the way out there and on the way back and while you're there and deal with situations. So it's really, at least I've found it, as I said, personally, very, very, very helpful to work with a partner. It's much, as I said, it's much more fun. It's much more, effective. So that's a very important tip. So I'm going to stop there. Does anybody have any anything they'd like to say? Questions, comments, or whatever? Archie's hand went up first, so we'll try.
Thank you for a nice presentation, Brigapati Prabhu. On the partner suggestion, I would suggest that the experienced devotees like yourself take an inexperienced partner. If two experienced partners go out, you're encouraging Satchit Anoy, he's encouraging you. Come on, you've both been distributing for 40 years. The experienced devotees, Prabhupada said, teaches the inexperienced. That's how Krishna consciousness progresses. So I think especially in this season, the experienced Sankirtan devotees, yourself, Vijay, Satchit Anoy, take an inexperienced devotee with you and train them. Yeah. That will be a lot more effective and help the mood spread a lot nicer than you and Satchit Sanoy going out together. It's like,
Oh, yeah, that's a good point, and we're doing that. I mean, I've got a couple of devotees who've approached me and asked to come out, and we're working, making arrangements to do that. Yeah, that makes sense. Anybody else? Ravindranath Prabhu?
Yeah, you mentioned about along with the instruction comes the empowerment. So is there a specific quote about that from Prabhupada's books? Or?
Yeah, there is. It's in the third canto, but I couldn't tell you the purport offhand. It's definitely right out of the Prabhupada's purport.
Okay. Okay,
third canto. Third canto. Lord Brahma's prayers for the creative energy, something like that, that chapter.
That's right.
Yeah. Maharaj, you know it?
Vaguely remember that, but just if you follow the Tatra Sloki Bhagavad Gita, you hear the instructions, you follow them, and Krishna gives you the intelligence and enlightens you. That's the same thing, as far as I can see.
Anyway, I'll try to find that purport for you. It's there for sure. Anybody else? Okay. Thank you very much. Kanchar Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Saturday, but and so I was not going to go to the ceremony because I'm sure my grandma should have been.